How many people have signed up for public testimony? I'd like to give people that chance. Okay, let's take the public testimony, and then we'll take a break. Thanks. Okay, to go over the commission rules with the public, we ask that you come forward, sit at the front table, speak not directly into the mic, but a little bit back from the mic, and we give you 3 minutes. At the end of 3 minutes, a beeping noise will sound, and at that point, your time is up, and we'd like you to conclude. If you don't, I have to interrupt you and ask you to conclude. Got still quite a few other items to get to. So I'll start calling two people up at the same time, and the first two are Jim Craighead and Norm Gutzweiler. Okay, Mr. Craighead.
Commissioners, directors, I want to first commend you for being on the train, as you said, with this wolf population. I'll give you a little history. I hunted in Idaho for over 20 years, and I want to express the past tense of that, because due to the hunting, we used to go over there and have a success ratio of roughly 60 to 70% branch antler bulls where I hunted. I was in the Snow Peak Pack area. Wolves moved in, as well as habitat loss, and we no longer hunt there. It got to where we went over and listened to the wolves howl and had a nice camping trip. You know, I just want to share that with you, that's where we're going. Part of the thing I also want to express upon you is the earlier when Commissioner Keene expressed about our general population effects. Also, we need to consider hunter success. I think you really need to look at what's that left also is the third thing that you need there in the formula. Because the perception out there, like when I went to Idaho, I really believe the elk population may have still been there. It's just that they changed their habitats and what they do. And us as a hunter, that's what we're going to see. We're going to see what we have. And we judge that on our success and what we see in the field. So I really encourage you to encourage that into your formula. Also, on the hunt populations, we saw with the slides earlier, our populations are up to 10 suspected packs now. And so what we need to look at there, I feel, is that 15 successful packs, it takes a year to do that. They have to make it through a full year of two pups and a mating pair. Then we have to wait two additional years before we actually get to say we get to claim those as successful mating pairs. Then we get to take another year to come before a public hearing and decide if we're going to hunt them or not. And then it takes another year to decide how many we're going to hunt and where we're going to hunt, if we're lucky that we don't get hauled into court in the process. And so, you know, we have a very generous, I'll call it policy here. And I think we've kind of, the train may be going, but I don't think it'll ever catch up. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Okay, Herb Troxell, would you come forward, please? Okay, Mr. Gutzweiler, are you related to Mr. Jerry Gutzweiler?
Yes, I am. He's my father.
We'll have to tell him that. Okay. We saw his son here.
Commissioners, thank you for having this forum today. Thank you for allowing me to come and speak. I'd like to visit a little bit about the Clockham Elk Herd. We definitely have a problem within the Clockham range and the habitat that's there. We believe that there's honestly lots of habitat, and we're not reaching our management needs in the Clockham area. We can put a lot more elk in there. Quite frankly, killing cows to bring your bull to cow ratio to where you want it only works mathematically. It does nothing else other than make it look good on paper. The Clockham chapter of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation believes that what we need to do is have road closures. We need to have a lot of road closures. We need to be able to have some open during certain periods of time, but in fact during the winter time when they're trying to live through harsh winters, they need to be left alone from snowmobiles, and they need to be left alone in the early spring during the calving season and coming out of winter when people are up there with their four-wheelers and they're looking for shed antlers. They need to be left alone during the pre-rut and the rut season. Closing off these roads would do a number of things. It would allow those elk to stay up in their habitat where they belong. It would lessen the amount of migration that you see down into agricultural areas, both on the Kittitas side and the Chelan County side. The less of that that you have, the less problems the game department has. Confrontations with farmers and ranchers have become a major problem because we have too many people recreating in the areas where the deer and elk are. You have studies, you've all seen them, you've all read them, I have copies of them, but in fact these same kind of studies have been performed in Montana and Idaho and Colorado, all over the West. We're kind of late getting to it. We need to start being active and closing the roads. We can do that with gates, we can do that with signage, but the fact is signage doesn't work. People go past them. If there's a road there that's visible, they will drive down it, and they will go forward if they have things in mind, such as off-season killing. It's not hunting. They're going out, and they're killing. They're driving those roads, and they're going to kill it. We need to protect the habitat. We need to protect those herds. We need to have road closures. The Elk Foundation has supplied a lot of dollars in this state just for the Clockham herd. Nearly $500,000 in fertilizing, in gates, in hours. And I would encourage you to think about that road closure.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know if this is a fair question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You and your organization certainly seem to have a more than just a little bit of knowledge about the geography of the area that you speak to.
Yes.
Could you or would you put together some proposal, knowing the road geography and the habitat of for people to review, the department people and some of us of interest?
We'd be very happy to do that. I am on the Clockham Citizens Advisory Council.
All right, thank you.
Commissioner Schmitten first.
Well, thank you, Chair. And I can say the Gutzweiler family has been well represented. Matt was here yesterday with almost exactly the same comments. But I'd like you to go home knowing that this commission agrees with the view that a road closure in the short term is the most effective and important thing that we can do to begin to improve our elk herds in the Clockham. The director commented on the same. We're anxious, but many of us, so I want to get back, we're anxious to move on beyond the studies. We'd like to see implementation of those road closures as soon as possible, certainly into this next year. So you have a friendly audience here, and you're well represented, and we heard it again yesterday. And there's a well-developed plan. The only problem that I personally have is that how long do you have to continue to plan before you implement? I'm ready to implement. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Commissioner Perry.
You have another supporter in this. I would also like to see roads closed. And I've actually done some research work on this. I feel it's an effective way to improve the use of suitable habitat. One thing I wanted to ask you as a private citizen,
would you push your
road closures are always difficult in terms of public reaction to them. And when the department closes a road or proposes a road closure, let's put it that way, they always get incredible pushback, at least for the first couple of years. And how would you propose making it more palatable to the general public to do road closures?
If I may, Commissioner Perry, what we would propose is to begin with the major roads and locking off like we have helped the game department do already with actual gates and installation of those, and do that on an incremental basis. If you go in and close numerous roads immediately, you'll have hell and brimfire to answer to. But if you start with those that are already closed with the green dot system and work forward and continue over a period of perhaps 4 to 5 years, during that same period of time, maybe limit elk hunting to permit only, three-point or better, you start getting people dispersed over other areas instead of coming into the Clockham with four-wheelers and going wherever they want on any roads. Also, what we really need is some teeth. Right now, people look at you and go, for $100, I'm going to go wherever I want to go. Go to the legislator, seek higher fines, take their vehicles, $2,000, whatever it takes, but seek the need that you have to make people stop doing it. For $100, they don't care.
Thank you.
Commissioner Duvia.
Thanks, Madam Chair. As a part of the Clockham Advisory Group, be interested in your thoughts on predators in the Clockham area.
We currently have, in my opinion, an overabundance of cougar. Just within the squilchuck and stemmelt drainage within the last few years, we've seen the cougars moving in to the lower elevations. Last year in August, we had a cougar come into the squilchuck drainage, killed three sheep, and within 50 feet of that 4-H'er's barn, there are three residents. That was one. 1 month ago, my neighbor down on Squalchuck, which is about a mile from town, a cougar and two kittens. Down in the Malaga area, they had one that was reportedly hit by a car. This is shrub step area. This is sagebrush. Why are they down there in August getting hit by vehicles? We've had two killed, licensed kills. These aren't up on top. This is probably a 10 or 12 mile area, and you have that many cougars there. We all know what science says. You can't have that many cougars in an area like that because they don't allow themselves. But in fact, they're there, and they're there in the summer, not just in the winter, coming down. When we start looking at what happens with the wolf population moving in, they're already there in the western portion of the Clockham habitat. They're in the Tienaway. As they start moving to the east, and they will because that's where the elk herd goes, we'll have too many cougars and we'll have wolves. We need to start opening up that cougar hunt, maybe bring dogs in, whatever we have to do, but we need to start limiting that number of big cats. They're becoming a problem for people. You start having big cats up in the Beehive area, which have been reported already, that's close to Mission Ridge. Everybody knows what happens when a little kid runs or a skier or a bicyclist goes by. Somebody's going to get attacked, and that will happen. So that's my opinion.
Thanks. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Okay. Everett Burtz, would you come forward, please? Mr. Troxell?
Well, I was planning to come to this meeting, and Wenatchee Sportsman wanted to present a position on the wolf situation. And so I have got a paper from the Wenatchee Sportsman that I'm not going to read. I'm going to present it to you because, really, you've hashed most of this over. It's not new science, but it will be a position paper. And you can look at it. And if you have questions, direct them to the Wenatchee Sportsman. We'll be glad to answer any of them. I came over specifically for the same reason that Norm did, to talk a little bit about the Clockham herd. And just a little historical perspective, it was just about 50 years ago, the first time I ever heard an elk bugle, and I've been enamored with them ever since. I've spent hundreds of hours, thousands of hours, sitting up just watching elk. And it used to be that you could go up in the Stemmelt or the Clockham and see lots of elk just driving the roads. And the reason was that there used to be a summer closure. They called it a fire closure. You couldn't go up in the timbered country because of the fire danger, unless you had business, and that meant authentic business, not just your business was going up to look around. Nobody was up there. So the elk and the deer were settled down. They weren't bothered. They were visible if people wanted to watch them. When you'd go up there in the fall, you'd see them a lot. They don't do that anymore. Some judge said that was illegal, so they stopped doing it. So historically, we've had lots of elk, but for a long time we had very few spikes. I mean, all the spikes, very few branch antler bulls. And so you put in a spike-only season, and we got quite a few branch antler bulls. And that was good. A lot of people go up and see them. I've sat on a spot up by the emergency airstrip and watched 70 branch antler bulls on a ridge all feeding and grazing around. That's great. Well, then the Indians discovered them, and so they're taking quite a number of them, and it got to the point there aren't enough branch antler bulls. For the last 6-7 years, one or two or three permits for the whole Clallam for branch antler bulls for the general public. There's a few more for special groups. And as a result, the hunting population in the Clallam has just gone like this. Where there used to be 30, 40 camps, now there's two or three. Last year when I drove in at the start of the archery season, I saw three camps driving about 20 miles of roads within hunting country. And that's virtually nothing. I like it myself, but it's not going to sustain the Game Commission. It's not going to sustain... Anyway.
Thank you.
And I second most of what Norm said. That was all good. Any questions?
Appreciate it. Thank you. Diane Gallegos? Please, Mr. Burt, go ahead.
Okay. I want to speak to the management of the Clallam elk herd also. The Clallam elk herd population has been below management objectives for several years, despite efforts by WDFW to increase its numbers. Currently, WDFW is considering allowing increased cow harvest to produce a better cow-bull ratio. We fail to see how killing cows will increase bull fertility or the number of calves produced. Antlerless permits will result in some bull calves being also killed. It is not good management to harvest more cows from this herd. The range is not overgrazed, although there are opportunities for habitat improvement. One problem causing the lack of mature bulls at breeding time results from Yakima Nation tribal members killing large bulls when their antlers are in velvet and selling the antlers on the Asian market. Often bulls killed some distance from roads are left to rot with only the antlers taken. This cannot be considered subsistence hunting. There must be some way to negotiate with this tribe to solve this problem. A partial solution that might be available would be to trade damage control permits and farmer control permits in exchange for their not killing mature bulls just before breeding season. We also believe that the Clallam elk herd would benefit from reduced disturbance by humans, gating and signing more roads to restrict public travel during times of the year when the elk are sensitive to human trespass would not only reduce this disturbance but help control poaching. And, of course, another threat that we see to the Clallam herd is the recovering elk population. The Tianaway pack is already feeding on Clallam elk, and they will produce more packs, and these will not only prey on the population, but they will drive these elk into areas where they'd interfere with agriculture, and thus requiring more damage control permits, and this will further deplete the herd. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I should say that I'm representing the Wenatchee Sportsmen's Association here today.
Thanks. That'd be wonderful. Jim Sutton, would you come forward, please? Ms. Gallagher.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Commissioners, and Department staff. I'm Diane Gallegos, Director of Wolf Haven International, and today also representing Conservation Northwest, the Gifford Pinchot Task Force, National Parks Conservation Association, the Washington State Chapter of Sierra Club, the Mountain Lion Foundation, and the Humane Society of the United States. Together, we prepared our thoughts and comments on the February 4th version of the Draft Commission Position Statement Wolves in Washington. We applaud the Commission for taking a proactive approach to wolf conservation and management. We offer our suggestions in the spirit of creating a balanced, fair, and scientifically accurate approach to wolf recovery in Washington. You should have a handout with our written comments, and we thank you for taking the time to consider them. We look forward to working with the Commission to make wolf recovery in our state a positive experience. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Sutton.
Madam Chair, Vice Chair, Mr. Anderson, I'm Jim Sutton. I'm here to speak about the lighted knock that was I debated yesterday a little bit, from what I understand. And first of all, I'd like to say I got a call from a gentleman on the way home who was here at this meeting and stated that someone who was giving testimony stated that I worked for one of the illuminated knock companies. That is not true. I don't know if what was said, so I'm just stating that out here. I actually work for Lowe's. So anyhow, I'm going to read this to you, and then if you have any questions, I know there's a couple new commissioners who have not got to see me over the last couple of years, so if you have any questions, please feel free to ask. Years ago, Teddy Roosevelt and other dedicated men decided to conserve wildlife. They could have done nothing, but nothing would not have helped the conservation effort. In regards to the lighted knock, the conservation value is present, the economic value is present, and the positive relationship between the landowner and the public is present. This is about conservation and the game we pursue. It's not about having your animal recorded in a book or having the latest gadget. When we look at new items, we should look at them on their own merit. Let those who speak out against it ask themselves, are they truly concerned with recovering the animals, or is it for other reasons they speak? The archery community in Washington State is growing rapidly, and now it is time for the Department of Fish and Wildlife to continue the conservation effort. I strongly feel that this is a step in the right direction. Over the past 2 years, in meetings with the Wildlife Commission, I've spoken in favor of the lighted knock. I've also gained support from numerous organizations, and now the support of the Game Management Advisory Council, or the GMAC, and the recommendation from the Department of Fish and Wildlife to move this forward. So it gives me great pleasure at this time to ask of you now to please adopt the exception to WAC 12054 and allow the use of lighted knocks. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Any questions?
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
That concludes the open public input portion of our agenda this morning, and we need a break. We're a little late for our break, so let's come back at let's give ourselves till 11, 20 minutes.